Okay. Is it recording? All right, it's 7 o'clock. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's February 13th, 2023, 7 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Garcia.
Here.
Millen is absent. Reifsteck.
Here.
Schumacher.
Here.
Schimpf.
Here.
Pasola.
Here.
Milsuski.
Here.
Crawford.
Here.
Forrestal.
Here.
Okay. We have Susan from Friends, and we have Sean from Progressive Solutions, Business Solutions. All right, welcome. And Shelley, our library director. Any amendments to the agenda? All right, presentations. We have Sean.
Hi, good evening. My name is Sean Ajazi. I'm the Vice President of Progressive Business Solutions. We're an energy consulting firm out of Aurora. Our office actually used to be right next to the courthouse in the building right there with, where Ignatson's Law used to be. Back in 2021, we started to have discussions with the city of Yorkville about sites for the city in regards to solar. We did the Kendall County Solar Project right at the government center that connects to the jail, courthouse, and health department. Plus some other Fox Metro and other municipalities under what was called the Futures Energy Job Act. Going into 2021, there wasn't any funding, but late 2021, Illinois passed what's called the the Climate Equitable Jobs Act, which opened up additional funding, about $9.5 billion over 10 years, for energy efficiency projects, solar, wind, geothermal, and the time was right to kind of go out and do a formal bid on, I think there was 11 city sites. So there was a lot of their wells, the old village hall, we looked at the new city hall, the city hall, we looked at the police department, we looked at the library, and then there was a couple other buildings like the maintenance off of tower and stuff to that effect. Based on that, you know, it took a long time. We did a full RFP out to 80 different solar companies. 6 did come through and do a walkthrough on the library and the other Yorkville sites. And, you know, with the emphasis of looking at an aggregated price for all of the projects to go forth at one time. With that, there was no capital investment by the city. There was no capital investment by the public library because of the funding mechanisms through the Climate Equitable Jobs Act, which is opened up the additional incentives to make solar more economical. Illinois right now has the most amount of incentives out of any state in the United States. We targeted about 10 to 20% savings. We looked at franchise accounts and non-franchise accounts. And the reason why we looked at both is there is an opportunity for the city to actually change the franchise fee to an infrastructure maintenance fee. City of Chicago, City of Evanston have moved forward those. So instead of getting free or invoiced electricity or gas through the franchise agreements, you get a lump sum payment. And then you get your bills like you normally do. You can go out to third-party suppliers. You can do energy management. So there's ways for us to look at how to reduce the cost to the city residents based under the new program that is available. It increases the renewable energy portfolio for the city in regards to the facilities that we looked at. And, you know, returns funds collected to the taxpayers. That's kind of, you know, the emphasis to look at for these. We were looking at a power purchase agreement for the city, which would be a 25-year agreement where the third-party developer would own, operate, maintain the system. The city would just lease the space on the roof, or the library would lease the space on the roof or land that would be available for the term of the contract. So based on that, we looked at the city's electric supplier contract that they have currently. And we know what the common rate structures are. And based on those numbers going into the power purchase agreement term, It would have saved about $16,000 if you switch to the city switches to the infrastructure maintenance fee. So
$16,000 a year, $16,000. Okay.
Yeah, so it'd be about $400,000 versus their current. So you know, if you switch to the from the franchise fee model, you then start getting a ComEd bill. So they purchase power from a third party supplier at through the deregulated rates, and then the power purchase agreement would offset during the on-peak time frames. So that's where the savings was derived from, because right now you guys are under the franchise. Shelley confirmed that. You guys are, the library is under the franchise, so it would be working with the city through that. We looked at the roofs. You do have metal roofs, and then also you do have the TPO membrane roof as well. The metal roof, it's about 150 kW system. It's about 432 panels. There didn't seem to be anything wrong with the metal. They don't penetrate the roof on the metal roofs. They clamp to the seams, essentially, or to the... they have clamping systems onto the roof, so there's no penetrations. We would probably have to do a better, more detailed in-depth analysis through the engineering process for the membrane roof. Just because I think that was built, you know, I didn't look at my notes, but that was built originally when the building was built. I don't think any, I don't know if there's any additional warranties or repairs or anything else. So typically, under 25-year, we want to make sure, term of a contract, we want to make sure that the roof's going to last. Because you don't want to put solar up there and then have to take it down. It's not in anybody's best interest, right? It's not in the best interest of the solar company. It's not in the best interest of the city or the library because you want the power to produce. So that's something that we would have to kind of create that avenue to ensure that we, you know, make sure where the system is. But as designed, this is the power production, about 213,000 kilowatt hours annually, you know, connected to the meters on site. You know, why is this... It's really all the incentives. I mean, that's the reason why you do solar right now. Typically, the incentives in Illinois pay for 60 to 70% of the total solar installations. You get a smart inverter rebate from ComEd. That's if you own it. So the third-party company, the third-party developer would, you know, take advantage of these incentives based on the investment that they have. Most of our governmental customers, Kendall County, Kane County, Fox Metro, Moose Heart, all did power purchase agreements because at the time you couldn't take advantage of the tax credit, the federal tax credit. You now have the ability to review that where you get the 30% tax credit through the Inflation Reduction Act. But again, most of them still, when you look at buying it with the 30%, you still can't take advantage of depreciation. So that also drives some of the mechanisms versus having a third party own it. Again, by having somebody own it, operate and maintain it, there's no maintenance, there's no additional, there's no pain to anybody to fix anything that goes out. That's all on the third-party developer. You would still have ComEd as backup. ComEd puts on what they're called smart inverters, so they track the to and flow usage of the ComEd power from the grid and to the grid. So we would be able to track the usage. You'd be able to show what the reduction is for carbon emissions. We could get the library part of the EPA Green Power Partner. So it gives you more recognition of going green for the energy that is produced on site.
So we don't have a city liaison here, but I'd like to know how the city, you know, I have questions for the city in doing this. How are we doing this? Right now, we're on the city's franchise structure. So, would we remain on city? That's what I want to know. Will we remain on city? You know, whatever agreement they have, and just have it as one, you know, lump sum, as opposed to us having just our separate account. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
this needs to be partnered with the city.
Yeah, that was the question, kind of. My takeaway question is what the next steps will be under, because it's not only the library account, it's all of the franchise accounts for the city. So it's additional conversation with them. We've started to have the conversation. We have had a preliminary just conversation with Mr. Olson and just kind of go through it all. But we haven't, you know, taken it to the boards or, you know, mayor or any. It's just, you know, if you wanted to use these accounts, the library's included that. In those accounts, this is how you would the path forward.
So I have a question. What is Progressive Business Solutions' role in this?
We are a solar developer. We were founded in 2009 as an energy commodity broker or consultant, a rep, an agent. We're a licensed agent broker or consultant. So, you know, we work as the city's energy broker for their energy commodity buy for natural gas and electricity.
Through the liaison between the cities.
Yeah, we do it for the county. I mean, we have 2,000 customers throughout the far western suburb, down to Texas, to Pennsylvania. You know, our core group of customers is the far west.
So you're not just handling solar, you're handling...
No, we work with multiple solar companies, line them up to make sure that everything's apples to apples, because, you know, you guys aren't solar experts. I try to be somewhat of a solar expert, but everybody has their own thoughts and process. So it's like an insurance broker kind of thing. We bring the companies, we make the recommendation. You know, you can choose whatever company it may be.
Go ahead.
Are you currently the broker for, like, the ComEd rates and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
For the city, for the county. I got a full list of customers.
So does it ultimately, is that the question, does it ultimately fall under the city to make that decision? That decision?
Right, because I remember when I briefly talked to John, he mentioned that it was, you know, including the entire city, including the library, for you know, this was at the start of this.
Mm-hmm. Of that package.
Yeah. So, some questions I have, and that is, looking at the number of panels and our roofs. I want to know, engineering-wise, can our roof, you know, both, you know, here and the new portion, support this? I mean, because if we have an issue where there's buckling, I mean, we've got books, we've got stacks, that's a lot of damage.
No, it's a great question. As designed, there's not a detailed engineering report. Mm-hmm. Typically, the panels are 4 pounds per square inch is what the additional weight load is added to the roof. Mm-hmm. During the design and engineering phase of the solar program of who, after you choose somebody, they do a full detailed engineer, they ask for specs of the roof, they ask for everything. Mm-hmm. Your roofing warranty, any structural diagrams, they come out and do a full walkthrough, they go on the roof, they look at all of it, they have their own engineering firms come in. If it can't support the solar, there's no project. Mm-hmm. If the roof is not ready to have solar or can no longer support solar, mm-hmm. there's not a project. They only move forward if everything works out. Mm-hmm. So it's not done up front. It's done when a commitment's made, because, again, that's mm-hmm. investment money that they start then outlining as capital for the project.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we actually, as a board, have any say in that? If it's...
Yeah, of course we do. We have to say because it's, I mean, even though this is, what's that?
This building.
I mean, it's a city building. And yes, the city would like to have, as you know, look into putting solar here. But we have to also make sure that it doesn't compromise the structure of the building.
Gotcha.
That's my concern, is compromising the structure of the building. If there's an engineering plan, plan that's done for the roof that says, you know, this firm has looked at the roof and says it can support it for the next, you know, that the roof will have to last this long, X number of years, and be able to support, I'm fine. But, I want to make sure that...
Yeah, and again, if it's not, both parties can separate.
Sure.
And I've had that question... I've had that question at Hinckley School District. I've had it at Sandwich School District, because they're all looking at doing solar and signing contracts. They're all valid. The roof is a valid question. Ground's okay, as long as you have ground, you know, to give up, you know, some space. But the roof, you have to make sure that it's a viable roof, because you don't want to take the private, you don't want to take the panels down.
Right.
The companies that did bid on it did do a walkthrough. I mean, they didn't get up on the roofs, but we can have them do a little bit more of a thorough analysis through a walkthrough, getting on the roof, walking the roof.
Right.
To answer, you know, I don't know if they'll go the full detailed engineering, but at least say, yes, we support solar on this roof going forward for our next design engineering sure. phase. We can do that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Did these firms confirm there is enough sun? I mean, I know here we don't have trees or stuff, but I know the back there are.
Yes, they, again, were here on site. They did their shade analysis on the roof. This is where the maximum production for the panels on the roof could go. There is shading, and there also, you have, if I'm not mistaken, you also get like pine needles and
yes.
stuff to that effect. So they did look at that as well when we were out here. Just, you know, again, they don't want anything to fall on them and then impede production.
Sure.
They want to maximize the production.
And then it is, you're locked in, they are on your roof for 25 years.
Yeah, they actually last 30 years, 35 years. So there's, you know, a typical run. So after 25 years, the way that the contracts are written is that you could buy the panels for $1 and then you own, operate them. You're the owner. They can remove them under the decommissioning plan at no cost to the district or the city. Or you can extend the power purchase agreement because there still is production life cycle after that 25 years at whatever that cost is. Most likely, remove them, put up the new latest and greatest technology if you want to continue with the solar message at that time. Storage, EV charging stations, how does that all interact? I mean, that'll all be conversations at that time.
And something, if for some reason 25 years, we can move into a bigger, better building or something, they have to stay with the building.
They stay with the building, yes.
You have to sell the building.
Yeah.
So, electrically, you know, we know that, you know, here we get a lot of lightning strikes. Say, get a lightning strike, it damages some of the panels. Who's responsible?
That would be under the warranty of the panels mm-hmm. for the third-party company to replace them.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, you know, in the contracts, they have insurance limits, mm-hmm. $1 million to $2 million, depending on what you prefer as the board or mm-hmm. the city. You know, that is all in the contract.
Okay.
If somebody goes up there with a baseball bat somehow, some way, that mm-hmm. might be a little different. But, you know, I mean, there's language in there for mm-hmm. offense to that effect.
Okay.
So are the panels up there to support the electric consumption of the library?
Yeah, you're offsetting your grid power that you're purchasing or getting currently from the grid.
Okay.
You will now be you'll be producing it during the day when the sun's shining, when typically costs are higher, because that's typically when the prices tend to go up. In the nighttime, you start getting production down, ComEd's price goes lower. So you're offsetting the on-peak grid purchasing.
So you offset the kilowatt per hour, so it's just a reduction in kilowatt per hour during daylight.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a cost to that.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from this side?
So what if we produce more than we consume?
Mm-hmm. It's net. Yes. No, that's a great question. It is netted out every half hour from ComEd, and you get either a credit on your bill or you get the deductive amount of the production for that month for that time period. So let's say for the jail and the courthouse, there's times where they'll have a negative bill during the summertime because they're overproducing. So their bill actually is a negative. They have credit on their bill for the commodity buy. Mm-hmm. And then they have the other charges like capacity, transmission, and ancillary. So it's a deductive reading. ComEd tracks every half hour. It's a flow. You won't see anything that changes. Yeah, I can go on, well, I can bring my phone, but you know, at my house I have it. And how many kilowatt hours are produced every half hour, you guys will be able to see that on an online profile.
So, I was just confirming with Shelley before I say anything. Right now, they don't pay electric. We don't pay electric.
Well, the residents of the city pay the franchise fee. So, in doing so, with the franchise fee, how the franchise fee is set up is everybody on their bill, every city resident mm-hmm. pays the fee. They
so
are getting a right of way.
We lose that off of our bill?
No, you'll still have it on your bill. It's just they have the revenue generating facilities where they buy third party suppliers at a lower price. They go out and buy them.
Right.
They'll just, they could take a cash payment from ComEd for the easements that ComEd has to run the infrastructure in the village. That's what the franchise fee is for. Instead of getting no bill, you'll get a bill that you can then lower under the third party buy versus paying ComEd rates for the franchise fee. So right now ComEd's at 9.4 cents. Under the franchise fee, the village is getting credited off of 9.4 cents. I'm sorry, the city. Sorry about that. The city deregulated supply contract is, I think, sub 6 cents. So that could to lower the potential franchise fee because they go to cash lump sum based on ComEd's 9.4 cents. And then they'll buy power at a potential lower price. And then they can do energy efficiency programs to further drive down the cost.
So it's not like it was years ago, or is it like it was years ago, where if you were to leave that third party or something, then you end up with this rather large...
No, there's no large... It's just a funding mechanism instead of how you receive the fund. You either get a zero bill, or you pay it, and you get a check from ComEd. You're still getting the same funding from the fee that's assessed.
Say a wash.
Yeah. For the city, yes, it's still a wash. They can then do with that fund how they lower that or how they buy. It's completely different instead of staying with ComEd.
So when you go out and broker, you're brokering for all the residents. Are they still doing that?
We did the city aggregation program. Yeah, it expired because ComEd's price and the market price didn't become a value. We did the ComEd match program for about a year and a half or 18 months where right. You paid the same rate for ComEd. The city got the green attributes for the volume for all the residents. But that program's ended because, again, there's not a savings position. So it's very difficult to put in a higher market cost.
So just bear with me because I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. So if this goes ahead with the city and you're saying the franchise fee will be lower, hopefully here we have a wash. How does that affect the residents? Is this going to be lowered? I mean, is this a benefit for the residents to do this?
Well, yeah, because the price, the cost that's going to be valued into the franchise fee will be lower on the franchised accounts.
Well, on all our ComEd bills, we'll see a lower number.
I don't know what that number is. I can't guarantee that. We haven't gone through the whole economics of that. But that essentially could be a value. There could be programs for energy efficiency, for funding that gets opened up. This is just the.
So we're just looking that the franchise fee would change, and then that's the tax dollars coming in could be used from residents, could be used.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get. You're still going to have to be assessed the fee on your the franchise fee on your bill. That's not going to be eliminated because there's one. It's on there.
Clarify. You said it affects the whole city, so I'm just trying to clarify that it's not on a person's bill, but as we pay our taxes.
No, it's on your bills. It's your franchise fee on your.
No, I'm talking for residents.
It's on your bill for the residents.
You're not saying that. If we make this,
how
is this affecting it
affects how the city allocates funds instead of. It's how the city gets. I mean, they buy from a third party at a lower price. That should equate to something. I'm not a spokesperson for the city. Everybody in the city, resident. Every business pays the franchise fee.
Yeah.
Today.
When is your company taking the next steps with the city?
We are actually in conversations with the city about which facilities go forth, which ones don't. So it's kind of open dialogue at this point. Nothing's been set to say, there's a contract, here's what we'd like. This was set up to kind of go through it with the board since... We haven't had this conversation, so it's good to be here and answer the questions, ask the questions.
Have you been to the city council for a presentation?
I have not. The managing partner, his name is Chris Childers. He has been to the city council. He's been very instrumental with the whole project. He also did Kendall County's field. So he's actually, he was out of town, so I filled him.
Yeah, but yeah.
So Sean, Kendall County, that's all field panels, right?
Yeah. We did the city of Plano, the sanitary district, city of Plano. It's in the back here. We did rough mounts and ground mounts there as well. Yeah, and under the Future Energy Jobs Act, we only had 5 projects that were energized. Since that, when the new funding opened up for CEJA, I think we're now at 22 projects. Just because solar is the way to go to save, because it's all driven by the incentives and the higher
cost. How do you know these panels last 35 years?
There is case studies that say that they last, you know, that long with older panels. So, you know, newer panels seem to have longer life, but typically they're 25 to 35 years.
So, I know, like, with Kendall County, at the courthouse, or at the public building.
At the jail.
Jail. Yeah,
the public safety center.
You have to put a fence all the way around, right?
That was a requirement between the city and the county and the solar developer at that time. I don't know if it would be the same today, having the fence all the way around it, as it was.
Right. I didn't know if there has to be some type of ensuring that nobody gets up on the roof.
Still have access to the roof. Obviously trained professional. Again, you don't want, they are AC power. They do. But yeah, because they're on the ground, they have to be fenced. The roof, there's no fence.
Darren, I have it on my roof. The fence around the county was in the city because there were residents there.
Right.
And the residents are going to be looking at it. So that was what...
I thought that was a requirement of the state that you had, because it had generated so much power.
I remember being the big impact of that fence with the residents.
Really?
You have to have some type of fence, fence. On the back side is Blackberry Creek. So on the back side of this, on the left side is the residence. That was in the front is actually a requirement of the sheriff and the city of Yorkville on what type of fence.
Yeah.
We went through metal fences, we went through PVC fences, we settled on rope. I wasn't part of those conversations. I just know in hindsight you can't see it. So really you know it's there because there's a sign, but would be good to have something where you could see the field. Like in other iterations, like Moosehart. If you look to the right when you're driving by, you can see it.
Moosehart isn't fence.
No, well, it's chain link fence.
Yeah.
And Fox Metros is not fenced because they have a fence around it on the old AT&T building or Mavel building a long time ago.
On your page 6, it says rebid the library as a standalone project.
Yeah, we're looking at rebidding all of them just to see what the costs are for the city, because we don't know if the city's going to go forward. We're trying to figure out which ones are going to be going forth. So we're going to look at it as standalone, and we're going to look at it as the bid, too, to see what the incremental cost would be as a bundle, or is it better to do it as a standalone?
Okay.
Yeah. It's nothing's packaged and said, here's what it's going to be. Library is part of what the city is, but we did that originally too. We bid everything out as a standalone, and then we aggregated it. We found that aggregating the volume was better. The projects.
Do they generate underneath?
Not a lot of heat. They absorb the heat. That's what really energizes. So there's not a lot of heat.
So you wouldn't notice, like, on the second floor that it's warmer up there?
I don't know the answer to the question. I can find out, though. Okay. I haven't been asked that question. Now, on my roof, it's a wind tunnel. And so it generates more. You can hear the wind blowing, which I didn't know about, which is fine. But when it's been really windy on these some days, it sounds, you can hear that wind just blowing right underneath. But that's about it.
In your house?
Yeah. Because, I'm on the second floor, and the roof's right above me. So you can hear the wind, but, it just gets underneath because it's about, yay high off of the roof. So it creates, it helps with cleaning the roof. Make sure there's no debris underneath them or anything else to that effect.
Okay, so then we have to really just, we have to start talking with the city to see how we're going to go about this.
Where we fit in with everyone.
Agreed. Okay.
Perfect. If there's any other questions, please let me know. I'd be happy to, you know, I've got some frequently asked questions together as well. So, you know, just, does sun work in Illinois? Yes, it does. You know, does it have invasive species or anything? So I will also be in touch with Shelley and let you know some of the follow-up questions that I have with the city as well, kind of how the project will move forward.
Okay.
All right. Well, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate your guys' time.
Okay. Next, if everybody could look at the minutes and approve. I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for Wednesday, January 4th, the Library Finance Committee meeting, and for the Board of Trustees meeting on Monday, January 9th.
Second. Darren, we have a comment. I do have a correction on the minutes for the Finance Committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Under on page 2 of that, there's backflow testing. This must be tested annually by law. And then the next sentence is there's $87,000 budgeted. Marlis, that should be a second line where it should be professional services. And that's the $87,000. That was Steve's recommendations.
So under professional services then?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The 87?
Yes.
Increased to 87.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so then I'll make a motion that we approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes from January 4th with the added detail on the line item that says backflow testing, that this should also say professional services is $87,000. Right. And then I also make a motion for approving the Board of Trustees meeting minutes for January 9th.
Okay. Reifstek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milsuski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Okay, great. Any correspondence?
I do have one. This is from Dixie DeBoer. It says, Dear Shelley, library trustees, staff, and friends. It is with mixed feelings that I write this letter. After much consideration, I have decided to retire from my position at the Yorkville Public Library. May 5th, 2023 will be my last day. I have enjoyed coming to work every day over the last 23 years, both for the work I have done and the wonderful people I have had the pleasure to work with. Now it's time to look forward to new experiences and times with family. It has been an interesting journey looking back at all the challenges I have witnessed. I went from working part-time to becoming a full-time cataloger, from working in the old library where we were on top of one another, to moving into a huge new building. Being able to be part of the interior design, selecting finishes, furnishings, and space planning for stacks and books was a true highlight for me. Cataloging, along with collection and database management, became not just a job for me, but my career. One that I looked forward to every day. I attended COD, received an LTA, and along the way continued learning new cataloging and software changes. I experienced the move from AARC2 to RDA rules in MARC, that's cataloging language, and realized how linked data will propel us into sharper search and discovery. I've been very happy to be part of managing our collection and watching it grow from 30,000 items to over 70,000 items. I saw new formats for reading emerge and different resources and services added for patrons. I am so proud of what our library has accomplished over the years. Through all that, I still get a thrill when a new box of books comes in and I get to be the first person to crack open a new book with curiosity, wonder, awe, and sometimes laughter. I will miss that. I commented to several people that the books I love found me, but now I will have to go out and find them myself. Thanks for the memories. Sincerely, Dixie DeBoard, Director of Technical Services, Yorkville Public Library.
Aww.
So, yeah, we'll be planning party retirement open house for her on that day.
On May 5th.
That's a Friday.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's May 5th.
May 5th. And we're just going to have, Dixie's very private, quiet person. She didn't want to make a big deal of it. I said, bad. we all want to say goodbye to her. So we're going to have something in here, cake and punch, and trying to get some fun things together, but it'll probably be around between 4 and 5 o'clock on Friday.
So. That's Cinco de Mayo, too.
Yeah, right? Make her wear some pair. Yeah.
So that means you've already started the process.
Yeah, that'll be in my report.
Okay.
Can we have the Friends of the
Library
report?
Well, as you might know, the mini golf was a huge success. We raised $10,499.50.
Wow.
That was a record, definitely. But I must say, Caitlin raised half of that. Definitely having her part of this made it huge. And then today after the meeting, you know, we had a wrap up and ideas were just flowing all over the place. Thinking about capacity, how many people can we get in here? Yes, it was wonderful. You know, we had some backups in that, but everyone commented what a good time it was and the raffle and just everything going on. We ran out of putters. We ran out of balls. Wow. We ran out of snacks. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Definitely. So, more to come, and we're already planning next year, so this is exciting. So our current budget, this does not include Caitlin's portion of it. The sponsors is $21,887.08 currently. And at today's meeting, we approved $1,050 for basket giveaways. Shelley explained the program to us. Basket giveaways, 4 whiteboards for the meeting rooms upstairs, and then 1 portable board. So it doesn't have to be carried around all over the place. $760 for children's programs that currently, and we're also going to supply the cake and the refreshments for Dixie's party, so we're taking care of that portion of it. Mike also created such a wonderful wish, because we always ask for a wish list, of course, a wonderful wish list where he broke down each program, the cost, and the bottom line is roughly, if he does all of this, which I hope he does, it's roughly about $10,000. That is fine, we know in advance. However, that means we really need to raise more money. That being said, as our conversation last month, and I know Shelley had shared with you about her research on 501c3, we're going to go ahead and apply to make the Friends of Library a 501c3. That will allow us to apply for grants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's money out there. Yes. There's mm-hmm. lots of money out there. And right now, we're tied. So we do probably need to enlist some help from an attorney to get this off the ground, because it is quite lengthy, the application. So at this point, we need to apply for an EIN. Mm-hmm. We need to write the board bylaws and submit the 501c3 application. If we use the 1023 easy, it's $275, and that's not an issue. Yeah, that's if we are going to have a budget that's over $50,000, we need to go ahead and use the 1023. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and could happen. So that's where we're at right now. We agreed we're going to do this. It's just the steps to move forward. It takes approximately anywhere from 3 to 6 months for approval of the application. But the sooner we can get it going, the easier it'll be for us.
Yeah, and I looked on grants.gov, and there's a lot of money that's earmarked for libraries.
Even throughout.
Yes, yes, yes. And the fact that we're running programs and can really design those programs to fit with them.
Yes.
Out there, yes. There is tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm so happy to hear this.
Yes, this is great.
Yes. We've been wanting this for so long.
Exactly. The issue I had today is so our treasurer went to apply for the EIN. She goes, they're asking for my social to apply, because they want a response, but they want a person mm-hmm. that's applying for mm-hmm. it. So we're going to have to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry?
The library's attorney.
Yeah, the library's attorney.
Or whatever attorney you are.
We really like the library attorney.
Yeah, he's great.
That person would know definitely how to go about this. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So we'll have a conversation with Shelley and get this moving. Yes. That's all I have.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the report of the treasurer.
We did our some little things. Shelley, on page 10, there is Shelley's, her reimbursement for a charter she paid for, and one she wanted to point out was for mobile citizen T-Mobile. That is for the hotspots. That's a yearly charge of $960 for 8 hotspots. On page 13, there's overdrive for $3,000. That's for the ebook. That's a yearly fee. Above it, I skipped, was an I-Corps just ago. I don't know if it's up or down, or it's
same.
For older. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's $3,892. And then on page 15, there's I asked about the Elevator Corporation. That's a quarterly charge of $525. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's the big one for Trico of $14,081.
So is the Trico one, is that from the Christmas time? Or what is this now?
Well, I included that in the packet. Mm-hmm. So on page 38, it breaks it all down. Should I discuss that now, or should I discuss that during unfinished business?
Well, we have to approve.
Okay. That's the repair there.
Yeah, it's all of the repairs and testing that was done for the migrating of the system and the glycol charge.
Okay.
So it's 72 hours of work that they did.
Okay.
And $4,700 of that is parts.
Materials. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did ask Shelley that it's not pressing, but at some point, if she could just give us maybe over the last year, what's the total we paid out on that? You know, we see bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the total.
Yeah, because as we're doing our budget, we need to know if we're blowing way past our 50,000 that we earmarked for repairs.
Yeah, because that's already like high.
Yeah.
That's really high.
That's not even
low. Any other questions? So I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the list as presented. Accounts payables in the amount of $41,501.92. Payroll in the amount of $35,789.79, for total disbursements of $77,291.07.
Second.
Reinsteck?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Pezzola?
Yes.
Nilszewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Okay. And we have a report of the director.
So I'll just touch a little bit more on the mini golf fundraiser. We did track our people counter. We have a people counter at the door, and we tracked over 800 people coming in the library. And it's not a real accurate count, because if you have a mom and a child coming in together or two people walking in at the same time, it just, if it breaks the infrared signal, it counts it as one. So we at least had 800 people coming in the building on that day. So that was huge. We had over 500 people pay to golf that day as well. Yes, we almost ran out of raffle tickets too. So, all good things.
Yes.
All very good things.
Very good.
Mike is putting together a volunteer information meeting for ELL, English Language Learners. He's been doing a very casual meeting of this. We have a volunteer that came to him and asked if she couldn't start this. She used to do that at the Plano Library. Mm-hmm. She lives in town here and would like to start it up. So she's been doing this, and it has kind of exploded.
Wow.
And so he has, and she was looking for more volunteers as well. So he has four volunteers committed to spending some time to come in and sit with these small groups, have conversations, do a little bit of reading, to help them get more comfortable with the English language. And he also had the World Language Honors Society teacher at the school reach out to him. And I believe they're going to send students over to do this as well.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah. So he's been doing a great job with this. So that informational meeting for volunteers is February 22nd at 3:30 here in the library.
Do you know how often they will have those meetings with the groups? And
I think they're doing it every other week.
Okay. It's week, bi-weekly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe.
At a certain time?
Yeah. Mike has it in our...
Okay, I'll look at it.
Might not be in this newsletter.
I don't know. Okay, Maybe I'll come to the meeting.
Okay, good. He's also doing a climate change meeting. That will be on February 15th at 1 o'clock. Jeanette is doing an SAT-ACT success webinar. I believe that those testing starts in April. So this will be for students wanting to learn the key differences between the SAT and the ACT, best times to start studying, and tips and tricks.
Good.
Cheryl is doing a poetry and art.
Again.
Great find. So this is an interesting concept that she did this year. She's doing a little different. She started with 12 poets and artists, and it started with a poem. And she gave that poem to an artist who created a piece of art. Then she took that piece of art and she gave it to another poet who looked at that piece of art and created a poem. And then it went back and forth, kind of like telephone. Used to play. So it'll be interesting to see how that crate finds its way through. So that is February 25th at 1 o'clock. It's a Saturday. Mike's also doing a military healthcare 101, specifically for any military veterans looking to sign up for Medicare. And he's had a, I don't remember if I told you this last month or not, a paranormal investigation team reach out to him. It's an all-female team in Illinois. And they're going to be coming, talking about their research, and I hope they don't do any readings here. That is March 29th at 7 o'clock. April 11th at 7 o'clock is Belly of the Beast King in Chicago. We've had this program before. We had it during COVID virtually, but this gentleman, Clarence Goodman, he's a historian, musician, radio, TV personality. He'll be here in person for this program.
He'll be here?
He's going to be in person.
Wow, this is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
he is a great
engaging speaker.
Yeah, yes, he is.
He really is. So that's April 11th. That coincides, I believe, Martin Luther King's.
I know that we have made it. Didn't we arrange this from the last time because of his time frame? We couldn't do it in.
He couldn't do it for Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So he's coming and doing it in April.
Okay.
Those are really the bigger programs that I wanted to highlight. I always include in my report the monthly kids and adult programs in here as well. We had a quote for repairing a roof drain that is leaking down into the children's department with Anderson Plumbing. They are scheduled to be here this week to replace that for $1,200. Ted will be
next month.
He'll be there watching them. let's see here. We had a few troubleshootings with our HVAC. When it goes into night mode, they determined that it was shutting down the fans to the air handler, or that it should be staying on. Mm-hmm. So Steve has, I believe, reset the computer to so that does not happen again. It's just all discovery that they seem to be finding. We are doing CPR training for the staff. The first training will be tomorrow with a group of us, eight of us, and then there will be a second group in March.
Okay.
And this stems from a medical emergency that we had here at the library. The staff handled it very, very well, and it was on a Saturday. But because of that, we thought maybe it would be a good idea for all of us to be CPR certified, AED certified. And I did receive Dixie's resignation letter, and I also received a resignation letter from a part-time person who has found full-time employment. So I have posted job opportunities for these two positions. So I'll be interviewing a couple people for Dixie's position.
Did you post them in the rails?
Yep. Let's see. I don't know if you guys got your reminder from the Campbell County Clerk's Office to file your Statement of Economic Interest. That's coming up again. The deadline for that is May 1st. Yeah. And I guess I have that in the business too, so sorry.
And there's a financial charge if you missed that date.
Yeah,
yes,
it is.
There is.
They have to fill it out online.
Oh, they're not mailing it.
They no. stopped right. it during
yep.
COVID, I think. So, okay. Online.
So if you did not get it, you can go directly to the Kent County Clerk's Office site. And there's a Statement of Economic Interest form. You just click that link and you can fill it out. And right. it's the same as okay. last year.
Yes.
Who is there anyone available to speak to in regards to, because this would be our first year
you
filling
can.
Out the paper. So is there, I mean, it sounds much more complicated than
it is. It's different from when I first joined okay. the board. It's a lot more detailed information.
Yeah.
So they give some like frequently asked questions, they give me like how to actually fill it out.
Okay. And I've included a fact sheet
okay.
in the packet
yeah.
as well.
Okay.
I would assume you can call the clerk's office.
Yeah.
Office.
Yeah. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let's see here. I attended a library road trip meeting, so we did this last year during National Library Week month, where we partnered with 11 different libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're up to 18 libraries.
Wow.
So
we're
still trying to decide how we're going to handle it, but we're opening it up actually end of March all through to the end of May. And end of March is to capture everyone's spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So if families want to do a little spring break road trip, they can do that.
That's nice.
And the Friends have agreed to sponsor our grand prize and our giveaways this year, so for $500, so that's really nice. And I believe that is my report.
I like on the next page the number of visits to the library compared to last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
That's nice.
It is. Yeah, it's interesting to see the changes, you know. We definitely have increased our programming.
Yeah.
This month we had 61 programs. Last year at this month we had 31 programs.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Do you attribute a portion of that to, is it Caitlin or...
Both Mike has done
okay.
a tremendous amount. He's added all kinds of programs. All of our yoga classes, computer classes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So a combination of things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. City liaison. So we did have one committee that met. That was finance. Great. Or was that?
No, that was.
Was that last time?
Before. That's
last.
The
oh, that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So nobody met.
That's going to be.
Nobody met this past month. That's right. But we do have to schedule our next meeting.
Yeah.
All right, unfinished business. Yay, HVAC update.
So the good news is I really haven't seen them here.
Okay, that's good.
So,
is that a good thing?
Good. So yeah, this big $14,000 bill on the back side for page 38 of your packet really lists everything that they did. I like that they do this.
Yeah.
Because I would have a hard time
trying to understand what would happen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Things seem to be working. well right now? I haven't seen Ted over here.
No, he's over in the room.
No.
He's missing you, probably.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I don't really have an update. I just want you to be aware of that big bill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess we'll move on to new business. So we already talked about the had the presentation from Sean about the City of York Go solar plan, at least for library. Mm-hmm. Is there any other discussion we want to have on that? I think we had a lot of discussion already.
And in the frequently asked questions, it said that it was put on hold by the city. Is that what I read? Like in the
really?
I find it interesting he's here presenting to us and he hasn't presented to the city.
I know.
Well, I
asked him to come.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I did.
Never
mind. We were looking at talking about savings or something like that when it was on the because we were looking at the cost of our bills. Is that
what? Yeah, that's a concern mm-hmm. is us losing the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I looked into this for my house, and we didn't qualify for it. But to me, it's like a shell game. I'm just like, look at you. Mm-hmm. Like even here, your franchise fee's gonna grow, this is gonna grow. Well, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with it. I am not against it, but I just don't understand. I feel like there's something not connecting.
Well, I have a feeling that you know. The age of the roof here, that's probably going to be a no.
Yeah.
The flat roof.
This roof here, right, is the oldest roof, right? Which one's the oldest? Is it this one or the flat?
Which one did you say?
Well, the flat has a lower lifespan. The metal
right.
is,
okay.
you know.
So.
I believe they updated this roof when they updated the
roof. Oh,
the mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're all metal. The slanted roofs are metal. The flat mm-hmm. roof is
right.
one that...
It's like a membrane.
Yeah, and in their proposal, they're not proposing to put anything on that.
Okay. But the current roof, you know, the metal roof that we have is 15 years old.
Metal roofs, though, usually you have it's a lifetime roof.
Right. So, I mean, it's... We'd have to see what those companies come back and say if they want to put it on there.
What the warranty is, because this is going to mount down the roof, too. Yeah.
Right. That's why I need to know an engineering plan if the roof can support it. I don't want to put anything on there until an engineer says, yes, this will support it.
But you have to agree to do it before an engineer is going to come.
Right? Yeah.
Well,
they tell you whether or not it's okay. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I might want to kind of take a small push. So if we have connection to a safe or a fan,
is that a
fine
that
we have
to
start?
That's what's confusing. Oh,
you should have a white paper.
If the city does it.
No, I definitely won't. Before anything goes on the roof, and we need to know a guarantee. You know,
you are locked in for 25 years.
Well, that's pretty good.
Because that got me when I bought
it.
My house,
sell
my house.
You have to sell it with the person that buys it.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
property. Whatever.
Well, nobody does, and that's why
we get away with it.
The standing seam is where your seal is at.
Yeah.
I think their timeline is really aggressive because it says that they could do this, they're projecting to be energized by late 2023 or early 2024. That's really aggressive. And that's moving maybe too quick. What do you think?
It'd be nice
mm-hmm.
if someone from the city came in.
Where
are they going to say, well, you know, one of these roofs needs to be, you need to get a new roofing system before we can do it, but you're still stuck.
Right.
So now we're stuck putting a new roof on a portion of the library because we already signed a contract or whatever.
Part of their analysis, so they have to cover so much of the roof with those panels. If they can't cover enough, then... They get kicked out.
Yeah, that's happened at my house.
they couldn't cover enough to where the trees are.
Judging by this thing, it looks like the entire roof on this
looks like the whole thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What amazed me when I looked at, I don't know if anybody else looked at it for their house, I didn't think the savings was that great for my bill when they presented it to us. It was not what I expected.
Yeah, I expected mine to be zero.
That's what I thought too.
It didn't come in at zero.
No, it comes in still with some.
It's a big discussion in our HOA meetings and regarding homeowners and adding in what the cost of return, you know, rate of return and all that kind of thing.
Commercial, I think it may make more
sense. Right. Commercially, it's new, but residentially,
no. You have a feel for the county does. Or, you know, what he's comparing our building to Fox Metro.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're on the ground.
Right.
He really isn't showing it on any.
Any roof.
Well, I guess plain old water treatment may have it on there a little bit. But most of this is on the ground. Which is great, you know, if you got interview property once again, it's
good. I've heard the panels don't last near as long as we put out
there. I was so glad when they came back, because you were going to say no, and they're like, oh, your houses are worth a while. Let's do it. I'm like, oh, thank you.
So what's our next step? Talk to the city? I think so, too.
See where they are.
We need
is it on hold?
Right.
I just read that somewhere. What did you see? Here it is.
What page?
On page 3 of, I think January 9th.
Finance.
The draft of,
I didn't see that too.
Going to note the solar evaluation project is on hold for the city at this time. Incentives are still available from ComEd for another 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
Over page? Okay, page 3?
Yeah. Middle of the page. I don't think those funds are going to be available.
No.
There's such a push for it now.
Well, now that's
In California, just reduced their incentive program.
Is that probably
California just reduced the incentive program. There's too much
solar.
Too much solar.
Okay. There's too much solar. Actually, in California, if you look at the way it's distributed. The peak happens so quickly and it overpowers the system. I don't know if that might be something coming down from Illinois. Who knows? We have a lot of open lands.
But
city wise, I think we talk to the city first. We go there and then we move forward after that. All right.
Agreed.
Hurry. Reminder of the SEI.
Just another reminder that the SEI is due May 1st.
Okay.
So if y'all need a copy of the link, I can certainly send it to you. Otherwise, you just go to the Kendall County Clerk's Office website. And it's right there, Statement of Economic Interest form. Included in the packet on page 39 through 41, the city sent us this. It's just a fact sheet and helpful tips when they ask you questions about assets. And
thank you for printing that off. That was really helpful.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah, I
had
no assets. Zero.
I guess next is we need to look into another finance committee meeting.
Yes. Had lots of back and forth with Rob, trying to answer questions back and forth.
So he's given me a new draft
okay.
budget. So we need to set another meeting
okay.
to go over that budget. Yeah. So
okay.
What are you guys thinking? It'd be like 6 o'clock, right?
6 o'clock is great.
We need to do, it doesn't mean that it won't go an hour.
Sure, you say that.
What?
So whatever, not the finance portion, but how many different committees do we have?
Right here.
I know you told me what mine was.
Community policies.
Carrie, it's right here.
4, 5.
On the front.
5.
Okay. Policy. Okay. Facilities. Community relations. Finance.
Okay, so then I guess
we are closed next Monday, the 20th, for Residence Day.
I was going to propose that.
No, you can't meet on a holiday.
Okay.
Tuesday,
the 21st,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday. Would you like to meet? This is the finance committee.
Yeah, Marla, she's picking it.
I have public works to do that night.
Okay.
I can do the 22nd, Wednesday.
Okay. 23rd?
That's good.
No. Marla says
I'm
working.
Sorry.
Monday. Tuesday, Thursday meetings.
Yeah.
What about the 27th?
Yes.
Monday.
Yes.
You're good? Brad, you're good? All right. So we're going to make that Monday the 27th at 6 o'clock. And actually, we're going to meet in the boardroom because there is going to be a book club setting up in this room. But I'll send out a reminder to everyone.
So which committee are you on? Because I think I'm right.
Community relations, I think.
Community relations. Mm-hmm. Or else I know you told me at one point, but I don't know where I went to.
Y'all are certainly invited to come.
Everybody. All board members can show up. But we do have a committee.
But only finance committee members meet or counted as the quorum.
Yes.
That's every day.
All right. So 27th.
Monday, February.
Yeah, so Jackie. Are you good for that one?
For the Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm good. It's already in the phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm putting mine in too.
I was just getting on that 6 one.
6 p.m.,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
6 p.m.
It's time to review.
6, right. 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
All right. And so our last thing? The review of the executive session minutes is going to be delayed by a month.
Table till next month.
Okay.
I was like, it seemed like we just did it.
We did. You got to do it twice a year.
I know, but it seemed like it came. We just did it.
It was
ago. I know. I know. I said, can't believe it went that fast. Okay.
So there's no other reason to go into executive session. So we are adjourned.